You're listening to the Scottish Football Forums podcast, the home of Scottish football banter.
Hi, welcome to the latest episode of Scottish Football Forums podcast. We're at season 13, episode 37, and it's part three of our championship specials for the season. So, first up, at the moment, clinging on to the lead, just Andy, Dundee United, how are you doing? He's silent. He's been stunned by Friday's result that he can't even comprehend what to say.
Sorry, is that internet? Sorry, it's moving. Good to see you, John. Sorry, good to see everyone. Maybe not so good to see Ali, but yeah, good to see everyone else.
Moving nicely on to Ali, how are you doing?
I'm doing better than Andy, by the sounds of it. I'm fine.
We also have Heather, Partick Thistle. How are you doing?
Yeah, great, thank you. I've said on a podcast already today that Partick Thistle won at the weekend, so I'm definitely taking coming back from being 2-0 down as a win. But yeah, happy still to be third, happy to still be in the playoffs. We take it, we move on.
And rising up the table since last time we spoke, Robert Morton, how are you doing?
I'm really good, thanks, John. It's nice to be looking upwards in the table. We had a little bit of hope. It wasn't a great start to the season, but the last kind of 2.5 months have been fantastic.
Aye, absolutely. Katie, Airdre, how are you doing?
Aye, not too bad. Great, thanks. Thanks for having me on again. I'm pleasantly surprised and happy of how we're getting on this season, to be honest with you.
Aye. I know, that's fair enough. And last but not least, Adam Dunfermline, how are you getting on?
Yeah, we're good. I'm good anyway. Not so sure about Dunfermline, but I'm sure we'll get into the ins and outs of that. But yeah, a long way to go.
Well, like we were discussing just before the podcast started recording, that things can change. So last time we recorded was after 9 games, and Morton were struggling, bottom of the table, and now look where they are. So what we're at, 22, 24 games for some teams. You never know what can happen in that last, 12 games roughly?
I think Dunfermline are in a similar position to we were at that point as well. There's a lot of injuries to kind of key players and stuff. And obviously, when we got them back, that spurred us to go on this run. And from Adam's point of view, hopefully, when they get those players back, they'll kind of move up the table a wee bit as well.
Aye. I think that's fair to say, Adam.
I don't know. I think once you start sliding into a set of results, it can be quite a hard thing to turn around. Even if you do bring in, you know, certain players back, I think that whatever happens, I think it will go right down to the wire for Dunfermline, whether they escape the playoffs and relegation or not. I think is up for debate. But it's definitely a tough moment for the team and a crucial period, and it's kind of do or die really now for Dunfermline about whether they're going to be staying in the championship or looking, going back down to League One.
I remember last time we were on, we were talking about the lack of goals, not really having a striker that can get you these goals, maybe even kind of 1-2 games or that. That's probably been a big problem still, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, there's a lot of problems, I think, at Dunfermline at the moment. I think that, unfortunately, you've got a very young squad there. I think it's the second youngest squad behind Queen's Park. So a lot of young players who don't have a huge amount of experience at this level. You couple that with, you know, effectively the spine of the team being out for the majority of the season. I think that when you have 6 or 7 first-team starters out for not just an injury here and there, for long-term injuries, which most of them have been on, it's quite a difficult thing to write when you're already operating at a small squad, and I think unfortunately our senior players who have been left have maybe not necessarily led led by example on the pitch. And if you're relying on 19, 20, 21-year-olds to dig you out of the hole every week, then that's not always going to bear fruit. So I think there's a combination of factors, but we are where we are. So we just need to focus between now and the end of the season, see if we get a few results. But I agree with Robert, you win your game in hand and you win a couple of other games, that gap from fifth to ninth is not significant. But I think the problem for Dunfermline and certainly for a lot of Dunfermline fans is that the past three games, I mean, it's been pretty poor. So something's going to have to change. It's going to have to change quickly.
In terms of change, right, so this is one of the questions we've had from somebody. So it's John, the other podcast guy. He has asked if McPake was to be replaced, do you think McPake could end up getting replaced? Like, would Dunfermline hit the, I'm not saying panic button, but would they be tempted to make a change based on, we've seen Ayr have a wee boost, we've seen Queen's Park have a wee boost. If
Yeah,
McPake,
I mean,
I don't know.
yes, it's a difficult one. I'm actually a big fan of James McPake. I know that some fans may not have that view, but I think when he came into the club, he was coming in after a time where we had two individuals who should have been nowhere near Dunfermline Football Club, and he really took time to understand what it meant to play for the club and what the expectations of the fan base was and what the fans wanted to see from a Dunfermline Athletic side. And he took that in and had a fantastic season in League One. So for me, I think he deserves the opportunity to try and right this wrong. It is only a matter of a win here or a few results going your way, and you're right back up in the higher part of the league. But saying that, football is a results business. So if it doesn't turn around, and I think if he'd lost on Saturday against Arbroath, I'm not sure he would have survived. So when you're getting into the conversation of he needs to win this game to keep his job, then things can escalate quickly. But I think James has enough credit in the bank with the supporters at the very least, to see out the next few games. And if we start picking up a few wins, I think that will quell any noise for a change of manager.
Yeah, what does everyone else think? Obviously, we've heard a wee bit from Robert about Dunfermline's woes at the moment, but what does everyone else think?
Well, we've played them three times, four times, and we've had a great season against Dunfermline, which is really unusual for the Rovers. So a lot of the things that I thought might happen with Dunfermline actually have happened. They've been pretty punchless up front. Losing Benedictus was a big thing at the back. So they've been leaking goals as well. And if you can't keep the ball at the net and you can't score, ultimately you didn't win games. So I did think they'd be safe mid-table at the beginning of the season. But I didn't expect them to be second bottom at this point. And things are not looking particularly rosy for them at the moment. There's no picking up 3 points at home to Arbroath is a tough one. I would have expected them to beat Arbroath, because I expected Arbroath to be, done and dusted, to be honest, by this point, as in getting relegated.
They didn't
Maybe
even need to bring their goalie on against Dunfermline.
I know. Maybe they should bring their. Well, they did to get started. It was unbelievable that day. Unbelievable. Never seen anything like it. So I maybe a good job for Dunfermline. They didn't bring their goalie on.
What about yourself, Katie Heather? What are you thinking in terms of Dunfermline?
I'm really surprised where they are just now because I know the games that we always had. I mean, we just kind of beat Dunfermline. We just, every time we play them, it's always either a draw or a Dunfermline win. And I think every time we do play, it's always a really good game. It's just, as you say, a few losses and that's you, push you right back down into that kind of relegation zone. But I hope they do manage to pull themselves out of it. Because it's always, we always have some a great atmosphere and stuff when we go there. We, in fact, I think we're there in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, we're playing Dunfermline on Friday night and quite looking forward to it, hoping that it will obviously feel, I'm so sorry, feel like it's quite a good time to play them, especially being at home. We've really struggled against Dunfermline in the last few years. We've had some real sickeners at East End Park. But yeah, it's a shame to see them not doing so well. But I mean, we talk about the cliche of this championship so often that a couple of results here and there. And you know, we talked about the fact that the rise that Morton have had in this last bit. And you know, it was only a few months ago where Dunfermline were fourth, and now here they are. So I wouldn't write them off at all. And I think if you put them and Arbroath in the mix, you always put I'd put my money on Dunfermline. So I wouldn't say, I think a few results here and there. Please don't let it be Friday. And I think they'll be right back in the mix. So, but it has been, I mean, the striker, I can't remember his name, the one who's come in and really has not got not a lot of goals or like onto his belt anyway. And then for him to be the out and out person to get goals is that's really, really tough. And it's just it's a shame to see them there. And I hope they get out of it.
I think it's good for the league having a team with support the size of Dunfermline's in the league as well. Home crowds are average of what 4,000 or 5,000, and that can only be good for the championship.
I mean, you were saying about like things can change very quickly. Aside from maybe playing part of this on Friday, which is a kind of tricky game, you would say your next three is what? Inverness away, Ayr at home, and then Airdrie at home. So all three games, the teams there and thereabouts where you are in the middle, there's no reason why you maybe couldn't go in there and maybe kind of pick up, say, what, 7, 9 points, maybe kind of click
On the flip side, if you don't, you're in real bother.
Well,
I
that's what
mean,
it
but
is.
we should have in the last three games, lost what, 5-0 to Morton, 3-0 to Queen's Park, no shots on target, 8 goals conceded, and actually 9 goals conceded if you include the Arbroath game, one scored, one or two shots on target. It doesn't bode well. The only thing that kind of keeps me going a little bit is that I thought Chris Kane looked very good on Saturday. I think he'll do well, and we have a few players due back over the next week or two who are important players in the squad who haven't really played this season. So, but again, there's not a pre-season, so how long is that going to take to get up to speed? So, I don't know. We're in for a scrap, so we'll see how it goes. But I think it's definitely. I think there was a lot of optimism going into this new season, and I think if we kept a lot of the team the way we should have then and not had the injuries, I think we'd maybe done a bit better. But we are where we are. I think the worst thing we can do is a knee-jerk reaction here and start sort of screaming for McPake to go or look at other managers. I don't necessarily think it's a McPake problem per se. I think there is questions to be asked about our signings over the season and those players that we let go. We had Witherspoon that we could have easily have got over the line over the summer and had in a long-term deal. We didn't do that. There's questions to be around on that. There are a number of players who signed for Raith over the summer who were also in discussions with Dunfermline. You've got to ask, why were certain overtures not made to ensure that certain players like Sean Byrne, for example, who would be very good in that Dunfermline midfield that's very lightweight at the moment. So I think there's bigger questions to be had. So if we do survive, and we may not, but if we do, then I think there has to be an overhaul of the club's transfer strategy and how we look to build in the squad in the future, because it hasn't worked, whatever they tried this season, as the table doesn't lie. So anyway, I'm sure
Adam,
there are more positive things to talk about.
I mean, Adam, you raised a fair point about the injuries field at the start. Every side has injuries, but I do feel from the outside looking in that Dunfermline have been particularly unlucky with the number of injuries that they've had this season. You know, got key guys as well, Matty Hall, Richie Hosler, there's been lots of kind of key injuries to key players, and more injuries, I think, than the other sides in the championship.
Yeah, I mean, and they're not just short-term injuries where they're out for a week or two. I mean, Benedictus was out for 3 or 4 months, was back for half a game, out for another 3 or 4 months. Kane Ritchie-Hosler played for about two games and then was out for another three or four. So these have not been short-term injuries. Sam Fisher, broke his nose and then dislocated his shoulder. I mean, it's just been constant big injuries after big injuries to really important players. And at any level, it doesn't matter if you're playing in the English Premier League, if you lose 6 of your starters, your main core of your team, you're always going to struggle on it. But every club has that. So we can't really keep banging on about it. We've got to go out there and we've got to beat a part-time team at home. And we didn't on Saturday. So that's the facts of it. As a part-time team, a full-time team should always be winning that game. And we didn't on Saturday, so now we need to dust ourselves down and see if we can get a result for Hull, which I'm exactly. I'm not a good one to say confident. Anyway, here we go. The joys. We always had last season, so there you go.
I mean, if things aren't going well, which is Firmland, they are a part of five, Raith Rovers. So already more points just now than they finished on last season.
Yeah.
Written off by some because they've had a wee bit of a slump. They couldn't keep it up in terms of these late winners and late goals. Lost a few games. It's like, oh, that's Raith's bubble burst. Then Friday happens. I mean, you must be delighted just now, Ali.
Well, I certainly picked up again in the since Friday night, I'll be honest. Yeah, we were five games, including the two cup games that we lost, once to Airdrie, which we just can't seem to beat Airdrie. So we're
Gets
five
you
games on the trot. What was that, Kay?
because we get to keep yours now.
I know, aye,
You're our
you
fulcrum
just
for
own
this
us,
season.
aye. So we had five games, including a defeat to Livingston in the cup and a defeat to Airdrie. So we weren't doing well, and before that, we'd been drawing games at home that we should have won. So it did feel like there was partly we didn't have a settled defence. That was part of the problem, and also I felt that Ian Murray was tinkering too much and trying to get too many attacking players on the pitch and trying to get players that weren't in their natural positions playing just to get them in 1-11. So I did feel that there was a bit of that going on, but. Yeah, Friday night was a real turnaround. Thought we hung in the game against Dun United. I thought, if Dun United had managed to take a couple of their chances, I don't think we would have caught up with them. But we hung in the game to the 70th minute and made a couple of changes, three changes in fact, and that swung the game for us. I thought the three subs really made a difference. So if you'd asked me at the beginning of the season, would we be up here? Well, you did ask me at the beginning of the season. I said no. I didn't think we'd be up at this level. I didn't think we'd sustain a challenge. I thought we would fritter away. But we're still hanging in there. We're still in there.
You think at this point then Friday then means we have got a title race?
Well, we do. We do. I mean, just purely on the fact that Dun United haven't been able to pull away. And they should have been able to pull away, I think, given, the expectations on them, the squad, etc. And they've got a good strike force. And probably missing Declan Gallagher is a big thing for them, centre half. I thought they would have been away from us. But we're hanging in there. We're on their coattails.
I think
It's
as
whether we
well.
can follow up a great home win against Dun United, against going down to Ayr United on Saturday and getting 3 points. That's the big challenge.
Big thing for me though, you're talking about Dundee United having a good strike force. Our strike force ourselves is pretty good, and then it's
Yeah.
been obviously boosted by the fact that Zach Curran coming in.
We
Look at
did,
what
yeah.
Zach Curran did with Thistle this last season in the Championship. If he can get, say, what in the last 12 games, say maybe, I don't know, 7 or 8 goals, what kind of fancy your chances?
Yeah, we've had a luxury of forward attacking players all season. We've been really good that way. We swapped out Jamie Gullen for Zach Rudden just in the window. Zach gives us something different. And I think it's fair to say that had it been Jamie Gullen playing centre forward on Friday night against the Dun United defence, I don't think the Dun United defence would have been so worried as they were against playing against Zach Rudden. So I think it was. Although Gullen was a really popular player, is a really popular person, the fans, I think it was a sensible move to get somebody like Zach Rudden in who gives us something different. So yeah, we've had a luxury of choices all year, and part of the problem is we've had choices every game, and sometimes it's worked against us in some ways that we've rotated people out when we maybe shouldn't have. Maybe putting people in the wrong places, like Callum Smith's been playing a lot sometimes on the wing back roles even, which is probably not his natural position. But the biggest problem we've had is defence. We just can't keep the ball at the net. We've won every game by a single goal
Yeah.
this whole season. So we've never won a game by more than 2 goals in the league. Never more, won a game by more than 1 goal in the league, I should
Yeah,
say.
aye. Anyway.
So we've been, it's keeping the ball at the back of the net has been the problem because centre half's been an issue all season. But thankfully, Watson's back, although Watson is. He's never going to have the pace. He certainly knows how to lead the defence, and Ewan Murray looks better alongside him for it. So if we can start keeping some clean sheets, it'll certainly go a long way to keeping the title race going.
Aye, because if you look at Dundee United, that's their strength just now, is about what,
Yeah.
13 goals conceded in the so far.
Yeah,
Yeah,
we're
Juventus
only
going
a
to win
plus
leagues.
10. We're only a plus 10 goal difference. What's the United plus 33? There's that's the big thing for them. That's worth an extra point to them, no problem. Just that goal difference.
Andy, from your own point of view on Friday, how much of a blow was it, do you think?
Yeah, it was a disappointing night, disappointing result, of course. You know, a big game, a big crowd, a big opportunity to really take control of the league because we could have gone 7 points clear and at 7.5 basically with the goal difference. And at that point, it's going to be a really good position to be in. But fair play to Rafe on Friday. You know, 4,500 home fans, crowd of nearly 8,000, biggest home crowd for a generation, and that's on the back, as Ali said, of 5 defeats in a row. And for them to come out of that run 5 defeats in a row, only a point behind, is great for them. And the night, I think the Scottish football enthusiast part of me thinks, you know, it's really great that a lot of kids that might have gone along would have really enjoyed a really special night at Stark's Park. You know, probably one of the best nights for a generation at Stark's Park. The Dundee United part of me thinks get it right up them and hopefully we'll be ahead of them come May type thing and sort that out. But yeah, I mean, United have not been good for a number of weeks, but we have been able to continue to pick up kind of points. We've lost 3 games now. We lost to Rafe in December when we were really poor and we rebounded with 7 points in the next 3 games. We lost to Morton in January, where again we were fairly poor and rebounded with 7 points in the next 3 games. So we've just got to rebound again. As Ali says, we've got Queen's Park at home on Saturday. You know, that's a good chance to try and get 3 points. And then the pressure's on Rafe. And if they drop points there, the gap's in three, then basically 3.5. And we've just got to keep the pressure on Rafe. You know, I said at the start of the season that 2 points a game is roughly what you're looking at to win the league. You know, and United are 48 and Rafe are actually 47. They're more than 2 points a game. And to put it in comparison, Killie and Dundee, I think we're on 40 points at this stage. So United are kind of 7 or 8 better, Rafe are 7 better. And even Hearts, the season before that, were only on 47, the same mark as Rafe. So Rafe must actually probably be quite frustrated that they've got a side like United in the league that are, you know, picking up more points perhaps than your average championship winner. But yeah, Friday night was really disappointing, and then I managed to get myself lost on the way home, so I don't be going back to Kirkcaldy on a Friday night for some time. I was driving out via Kinghorn and stuff like that, so it was not a good night when I arrived back in Glasgow at about 11:30 at night. But you know, fair play to Rafe. I mean, and the winning goal is an absolute screamer as well. You know, I think Ali's right; they did hang in there, but United weren't doing enough in the second half for my liking to really trouble Rafe. You know, it's another late goal. I've said for a while, I think the number of late goals is unsustainable. It's quite incredible, but fair play to Rafe to keep doing it. I mean, it's 20 points they've gained after the 85th minute of games this season. I mean, it's just absolutely, it's like, I'm a stats guy, and that's just a complete anomaly. It's just absolutely nuts.
Testament to the fitness as well is that, you know, that we can keep going right through to the very end. So to keep scoring those late goals is great credit to the performance team as well behind them.
Yeah, you know, it's great fitness, it's great character, it's you know, it's really good play to keep creating those chances and keeping cool heads. It's also a bit of luck, I reckon. I don't think it's unfair to say that. You know, some of United's, you know, when United won the cup in 2010, they did so with a lucky goal. It was the best team I ever saw, but we, you know, we got a really jammy goal to get through. And sometimes you make your own luck to an extent, but that the number of late goals that Rafe are getting is incredible. You know, and you're getting kind of goals like up Leith and Arbroath, where it's a shot going wide of goal and the Arbroath defender slaps it back in target for them. But you know, in some respects you make your own luck sometimes. So yeah, it's an incredible run Rafe have been on, or certainly were on pre-Christmas.
We're obviously what middle of February just now, so we're not long from the January transfer window being over. Were you surprised that Dundee United didn't do a bit more business to try and prepare potentially for next season, assuming that Dundee
Nah.
United promoted it, or do you think? Because obviously budget wise, Dundee United have kept their Premiership budget, haven't they, effectively?
Well, I mean, their Premiership budget last year was £6.9 million was their wage bill. Quite incredible in the accounts that came out. I mean, astonishing money. So they'll have trimmed a lot off that because I would say there's probably only four signings in that squad that are Tony Asghar legacy signings. I mean, goodness knows what Tony Watt's been paid compared to other, you know, players in the league. I mean, there was rumours when he came, it was kind of 5, 6, 7 grand a week, you know, money that's just right out of kilter with the Scottish Championship. And Berghetti, the goalkeeper, sitting there still picking up an absolute huge wedge as well, and he's not, you know, kicked a ball this season or done anything. But in terms of the business we did in January, I mean, I know it's a cliche that January is a difficult month to recruit in, but you know, we brought in David Wotherspoon on a short-term contract and Alex Grieve on loan from St Mirren, and I do think Dundee United's first choice 11 is good enough to win the league. The key guy for us to keep fit is Ross Docherty, and I know that Heather warned me about his sideways passes or whatever, but again, the stats speak for himself. In the games that Docherty has played this season, we've won 9 and drawn 2, but he's only played 11 games, and in the other games there's a noticeable drop off, and I felt that against Raith on Friday night as well. We just don't have that balance in the middle of the park. With Docherty, United played a lot of forward players on Friday. I think they thought, you know, that Raith have lost a lot of goals this season, you know, 4 at home to Ayr, 2 to Arbroath, 3 to Partick Thistle. But the only team that can't score against Raith Rovers at ease is Dundee United, unfortunately. And we've really struggled. We struggled in the game at Tannadice. You know, Raith completely did a job on us, and United didn't really look like scoring until the last minute. And so Raith probably deserved the 3 points on that basis. Friday night, I did think United did the better of the game, but, you know, ultimately, you know, the only stat that matters is the one in the top left-hand corner. And we've been done by a fantastic goal in the last minute. So in terms of United bringing guys in, I think Wotherspoon could be a good signing. I'm not convinced by Alex Creed, the guy that's coming from St Mirren, but I think we've got enough to get up. I do think that the squad is good enough just now, but we've just sort of got to go out and show it. The one thing I'd say is that the last 5.5 weeks, we've only played 3 league games because it's been quite stop-start, because we were rubbish enough to get pumped out the cup early by Queen of the South. So that's kind of our own fault as well. But starting on Saturday, we've got 5 games in 14 days because there's a midweek championship card next Tuesday. And then we've got our game in hand against, or what was our game in hand against Morton the following Tuesday. So a real chance for things to move quite quickly. And hopefully, you know, if we can put kind of, you know, out those 15 points available, 11, 12 on the board, then that puts pressure on Rafe.
Start of the season, apart from yourself, Adam, Heather, and Ali went for Dundee United to win the league. Did any of you change your opinion on that at the moment?
No, even me. I still think United will win the league. I don't think Rovers will sustain the challenge. I think they'll drop too many points.
I think Witherspoon's actually a really good signing, and I think I thought when I saw him against us that when we played you up in Tannadice a few weeks ago, I thought he was one of your better players. I thought he was your best player on the Friday night. I don't know if you were at the game, but certainly the way that he was in space, he knocked some beautiful balls forward to that front line. I think just that little bit of extra quality and experience is going to get Dundee United over the line. I think Raith have a good shout to go in if they can keep going into the playoffs, and if they're playing a Ross County that might be on the slide, or a St Johnstone that might be on the slide, then I could see Raith giving somebody a bloody nose in the playoffs. I still think Raith have a lot to go into, but I think Raith have to go into those playoffs with momentum. If they go in struggling, I think they'll maybe fall apart. But if they're a vibe team and they'll go for it. But I think Dundee United will win this league by through attrition.
Rafe have had an unbelievable amount of moments this season. Till not, you know, the late goal on Friday. I mean, Ali, it must have been as good as a, I mean, you've obviously supported Rovers for years, but the amount of, no, I know I mentioned the late goals and I said luck, which I mean, the Rafe Rovers admin was even kind of, they've been going for it on Twitter, haven't they? The Rafe guys been noising up both Dunfermline and Dundee United fans, which is fair enough. That's what football's about. You've got to enjoy it when it's good. You've got to
absolutely.
To go for the big licks and noise up. But Rafe have had just an incredible number of games that you will look back on in years to come and think, God, they were, you know, great games and great moments, right?
Absolutely. This has been a season where I've been waiting from the end of each game. You wait till the next game. You kind of wait for it to kick off a game. It's just been completely looking forward to every week as it came round. I mean, even the time, even when we've been having this barn spell of not winning games, still been looking forward to going on a Saturday, you know? Can't say it's been like that every week for everybody. And the crowds have really kept up as well. So still a belief there that Rovers have got something special this season. And they're good fun to watch, Rovers.
I mean, Katie, you actually backed Raith Rovers in the league, by the way.
I know I did. I still.
If you stopped taking points off us, you'd be right.
I will. I still think they might just sneak it. Just get a wee feeling.
I'll be happy with that. But I have to say, if we don't, If we don't win the league outright, I don't see us going up through the playoffs. I know Adam was saying we could give somebody a bloody nose. I think it would be really difficult for us because
be a bit of a downer almost, won't it? Because you know you've got the playoffs and you know you're probably second.
There's definitely that. Plus the fact that we just played Livingston in the cup and we didn't beat them. I thought that was our marker. I thought that was a day we should have went and turned over a Livingston who hadn't won in something like 13 games. And we competed well enough. We just didn't take our chances and lost 2-1. So that's why, I'm a bit cautious on, will we get up through the playoffs? I'm not so confident on that one.
It's the number of goals conceded that's a problem, really, isn't it, for Rafe?
Absolutely. Yeah, but we've not had a steady, a settled defence, too many injuries. So hopefully, you're hanging your hat on Keith Watson, who isn't he a consistent, game after game performer anyway. He's going to play for three and he's going to be injured for a few. So that's going to be a problem right to the end of the season, I think. So that's going to be I think that's going to be the area that's going to cost us.
We've got a question from Chris. So, out of the teams that are chasing playoffs, I mean the promotion playoffs, no, it's like we're chasing the relegation playoffs, to be honest. But would you rather Wraith went up and have to face United or vice versa?
At this point, I don't think we'd be scared of any of them.
That's what I like. That's what I like, dear Robert.
We're scoring goals and not conceding any. I don't think any of the bottom two in the Premiership or any of the three other teams in the playoff spots we would be scared of. We wouldn't go into it thinking we could get a doing here.
Especially the run that you're on just now doesn't reason it for anybody, has there?
Yeah. I honestly think that we will give Hearts a game. I'm not saying we'll beat them. If Hearts turn up, they should turn us over 2 or 3 nil. But the way we are playing just now, I wouldn't be surprised if we give them a right good go.
You disappointed with the schedule in the game, though, in terms of.
Aye, a Monday night at 7:45, and the thing is, the Friday night game against Motherwell, I think that was the biggest crowd we've had at Capello since 2016, 15, 16, when we come up with a League One. There were so many young kids in the crowd. That was probably our biggest result for a generation. And it was great to see the atmosphere. It was great to see the young team there. And it feels as if the SFA have kind of bent us over a wee bit with this. I don't see why it couldn't have been the Friday night rather than the Monday night. You've got the Hearts fans have got to get through to Edinburgh after work. A lot of Morton fans live out with Inverclyde now as well. You've got kids going to school on the Tuesday. Aye, they've not done us any favours.
Definitely not. I think an intimidating Friday night. I think a Monday changes things completely. I mean, Katie, Airdrie are chasing the playoffs as well. So if you were to be in the playoffs, would you be more frightened of Dundee United or Wraith?
I don't think I'd be frightened either of them, to be honest with you. I mean, we've shown that, well, we beat St Johnstone quite comfortably. The Hearts game, I think the result looks better for Hearts than what it actually was, because I don't know if any saw the game, but we actually gave Hearts a decent game. I mean, there were just four chances on goal in the first half and they'd scored three of them. That's just what happened. But I mean, we gave them a good game. So I think on our day, if we just play our football, I'm not really frightened of any of them.
I think your thing as well at Airdrie is in terms of centre back. You're obviously struggling for players and McCabe and assistant having to play centre back, but.
Aye. I mean, we've got a really good defence. I think we are like joint second defence in the league. Just don't score goals, though. That's our problem.
What would you put that down to? Is that down to players missing chances or lack of creativity in the team?
It's not the creativity, I'd say. It's players missing chances, just not taking their chances. And we've been a bit unfortunate that like Gabby McGill's been out injured, Callum Gallagher's been out injured. So I mean, like Lewis McGregor's a great, he's great, but he's not a proven goal scorer. He's so it's just we're getting Gabby's, well, he came back on Saturday. And Callum Gallagher seems to be back as well. Toddy obviously scored a couple of goals, but it's just trying to get that, just trying to get the kind of momentum going, unfortunately. And I think Hibs having recalled Megwa was a big loss to us.
Yeah.
That's I mean, we signed a couple of young boys on loan during the transfer window. Aaron Lyle and Chris Donnell, and both of them look really good, but they're midfielders. They're no strikers. I was shocked that we didn't actually try and sign a striker during the transfer window, because I think that is one position that we're really lacking in. But just have to see how it goes over the next few weeks.
It's one of those ones, when January, everyone's always looking for a striker, aren't they?
Aye.
You don't get a decent striker boy in January.
Is that Rodden?
Well, you got the one that was available.
And we got Jack Hamill as well at the beginning of the season. So, yeah, we've done well this season just picking them off.
You're lucky to get Zach on a streak, though, because he's such he's a streak player. Like, I mean, like, he'll score like five in a row in a run of games, but he also has dry spells too, so you just want to keep him going. And he also, like, him and Graham playing together in our League One season was stunning. And I think that, obviously, seeing you've got Jack Hamilton, like, I think someone like that for him to bounce off and create with is good. Just don't let him get near any referees. And never forget him getting, he got sent off for bad language, which was quite a wild one, to be honest, because, you know, you can imagine, like, what's said on these pitches everywhere else. But I think that one referee decided he was going to take a stamp on it. And I mean, as Ian McCall famously said on BBC Scotland, Scott Tiffany and Zach Rudden have got an IQ of 50 between them. So you can just imagine that Zach was not thinking at all. But it's funny how, like, obviously, Robert and Katie both saying that, like, they're not worried about Dundee United and Raith. And it's actually funny that, I mean, my team that are sitting third are maybe the ones that out of everyone maybe are the more worried ones, because we haven't taken a good swipe at the teams above us, and that's why we are where we are, because we're so, like, I mean, we're not even solidly third right now, but we are third, and we, you know, Dundee United have turned us every time, apart from obviously the cup win early in the season, and then Raith has just been a whirlwind. So I think, if I was to be honest, I think I prefer to play Raith just with the fact that Dundee United, what they did to us at home a wee while ago, but obviously now that Ross, people like Ross Ocketty are injured, and as much as you say about, oh, the sideways passing is mental, but he sits in front of a defence and he controls it, and he can, he changes games in many ways, and he's so clinical no matter where he is, and I'll give him that, absolutely. So I think I would take Raith, but I can't believe I've said that, because that whirlwind game that we had on that Friday night, I was in the boardroom with my brother, and having to be in the Raith Rovers stand when that goal went in was wild. So, but yeah, I mean, it's such an exciting league, and Thistle are just having a bit of a wild one right now. You know, we go and beat Ross County 3-0 and right a few wrongs, but then, you know, I don't want to talk about the cup, but like I have a tough result against Livy. And then it's kind of back into the league action. We were so lucky to get a point on Saturday against Inverness. And I think we're just such a bitty team this year, but it is exciting. And I'm the same as Ali. I love going to every single game, and you just never know what you're going to get. It's nerve wracking, but it's exciting. And we've brought in a few. I mean, obviously we've got O'Reilly from Raith Rovers, and that's a really exciting signing for us. But we've also, the one I really want to highlight is Luke Macbeth. He's a guy that we've signed from like the lower leagues. Like, he's and not gone through an academy or anything. He's just been playing juniors, and he's come up, and he had his first start on Saturday, and he was absolutely class. And he's a no-nonsense midfielder, shoves people out the way and just gets his body involved. And that's something that we've really missed at the start of this season, with losing people like Ross Doherty. I also, I don't know if Kyle Turner's been playing, but what a signing that is too. And if you get him on the run that he was on for us at that, you know, the latter part of the season, that's another great addition. But yeah, I think, yeah. I mean, it's always well being a Thistle fan, and I think it's always well being a fan of a team in the Championship. But I think playoffs has to be the goal for us right now. Don't think I enjoy the fact that Raith Rovers put us in their image for the chat with Brian Graham, but we don't deserve to be there. We're nowhere near. But it's exciting, and I can't believe another. I
Is that
can't believe
the
we're seeing
bumper car image, Heather?
that. Pardon?
The bumper car image.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, they've done Dunfermline in the back as well.
Oh, it
Yes.
has to be. I mean, come on, we have to. We can't have a Fife rivalry without it. But yeah.
Exactly. Well, their social media's been on fire this year, I have to say. It's been, definitely been a known strategy. So it's working for them so far. I know it'll backfire at some point, but that goes with the territory. But just on you're saying about Kyle Turner, I was really happy when I seen Kyle Turner come in, but he's not done anything for us yet at all. In fact, he didn't even get on the pitch on Friday night. So he didn't have a particularly good game against Livingston, and he's dropped out. And now that Sam Stanton's back, I think he'll struggle to get back in. So it's a squad game, so hopefully, his time will come. But yeah, he's not hit the ground running for us yet.
I
He
didn't
wasn't
actually realize.
a strong starter. He wasn't a strong starter throughout the season last year. He really just took off in that. And but actually, you know what? When Chris Doolan came in at this time last year in March, he found a bit of form, and I think Chris Doolan put a bit more trust in him than Ian McCall did. And he had such a link up with Scott Tiffany. But I think that Kyle Turner, if he's one of those players, he reminds me of Blair Spittle. If the whole team's playing well, he'll play well. But when push comes to shove and it's a nitty-gritty game, he's a bit of a ghost.
See, just on the playoffs, Heather, obviously what happened last year, at the start of the season, you'd lost a few players. Do you think if you're in the playoffs this year, you can get up, get promoted, or, as you say, are they too erratic and still part of the puzzle?
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that question. I thought it was a great question, but thing is, so people obviously reference what happened against Livy last week, which was sickening. But when you look into it, two players off at the wrong time, took off Brian Graham and Stevie Lawless at the 60th minute. You can't do that against the Premier League team, no matter what their form is. And then two of our players go off injured. Two of our new signings are cup tied, so we had to bring on like a really B string, a B side team, and the team that finished is not the team that started. I think that yes, people will reference Livy and go, oh well, when you go into the playoffs, but then you have to remember that in January, just there, we went and beat Ross County convincingly, and I never would write us off. You can't, and we joke. Thistle fans, so let's say if we get into the playoffs, we're not going to go after what happened last year. But it's such a lie. We'll absolutely go, and we'll. And Chris Doolan is never he's not a manager to let us go out without a fight. And he's always been well, like if they score, we'll score. And yes, we're not very great defensively right now. Hopefully, O'Reilly coming in will change that. But I think. We if we go on the same run that we did, we weren't that good last season, and I think a lot of people in here will agree that like we struggled into fourth, but it's just the fact that we hit a run just right at the end. So I don't think we can look at like what's happening this season and go, oh well, no chance, because there's always a chance. And I think that the run that Chris Doolan took Thistle on last season is giving other teams' confidence. If you just get sneak into fourth and hit a good run, anyone can do it. So I think that yes, I'll back my team absolutely, but I also think that anyone can do it. And I also think it's a great season to play the Premier League teams because they are having a sorry, sorry time.
Definitely. Hey, Andy, you want to come in there?
Yeah, I was just going to say, Heather, it's a good point about last season because the league was much more truncated last season. So Thistle went on this run and got into fourth and then took that forward. Whereas, do you worry for Thistle this season because they're almost guaranteed to be in the playoffs at this stage because they're what, 10 points behind Raphen United and they're about 10 points ahead of fifth place. So as in they're almost certain to finish third or fourth in the league. And so they've almost got this bizarre situation where the next 13 league games are the results almost don't matter that much because unless they have an absolute mare and somehow drop to fifth, which I don't see happening, or an absolute stormer and win every game and somehow get to the title, which I don't see happening, they are going to be third or fourth, and they're just going to essentially their season starts in May, restarts in May when the playoff games come in. And will they be able to kind of get up for that in the same way when they've not got the pressure through March and April?
I think one thing, a big thing to note is the fact that Thistle have come fourth the last two seasons and should have been higher in both of them, and it's been like bad, you know, last minute goals, strange substitution choices from Nicole and different things. And we really fell out of the playoffs badly that first season. So I think that if we finish third, in some ways, I mean, that's an improvement from the last two seasons. So, and we know it is more, it's more money, and it's, you know, it's something to look at. I also think when you look at the people that are in our squad, people like Brian Graham and Stevie Lawless don't let you lie down and sit. Like Brian Graham, you know, just cares far too much sometimes, and is such a hothead, but also just gets them all going and gets all the fans going. I also think that we are notoriously, and probably to some people's annoyance, a fan base that just don't accept things. So I think that we would, I don't think the fan base and the people around the club would allow anyone to lie down and sit. But we also, we're not a team to do that, because we make things ridiculously hard for ourselves all the time. So I think it'll be just as fun and exciting and nerve-wracking as any other season. But I would see third as a low-key victory coming from the last two seasons being fourth.
So the assumption is then that the top three is secured, which might be a wee bit too early to say, right?
I wouldn't say that.
What can happen in the Championship, right? Now, Robert Morton in fourth place. I want to ask some of the other guys beforehand to come at you, Robert. Obviously, Ayer, the appointment of Scott Brown, we're seeing a bit of an impact there. We're also seeing Queen's Park maybe getting back on track a wee bit with Davidson. Do we think Morton are kind of nailed on for that fourth place, or even maybe better? Or are any of those other teams around the playoffs going to sneak in there?
I'll go first, since my team's definitely not going to be involved in that. So it's okay. I've resigned to the fact that we just need to survive. That's okay. We'll be back next season, hopefully. Fingers crossed. So I'm going to caveat this, because in some ways I respect the job that Doug Emery's done, because I was at the game in tail end of last year. It was under lights on live on BBC, and Dunfermline were up 2-0 within the first 10 minutes, and the atmosphere was pretty bad at Capital. I mean, he was getting booed every single time he left his technical area, and I actually didn't think he was long left for the post at the time. I think he's done after this, because the boos at full time from the Capital crowd were pretty, you're under no illusion what the fan base thought of the performance that day. So to turn it around, I think he's done an incredible job and deserves a lot of respect for what he's achieved. Saying that, I do think that, you know, Morton could have one or two injuries, and they would, like a lot of teams would continue to struggle. So I don't think Morton would be either, but I don't think it's spot on for Morton going through a run, but they can easily go through three or four games and not win. And if they go through that, then the league table can very quickly change if you've got teams like Ayr starting to pull together some results. But I think Morton in the driving seat, because they're getting the results at the moment, and they're a difficult team to beat, and you've got a bit of momentum. But I think that there'll be some, that place will change over the next 10 or so games. I think it's going to go down to the wire.
Who do you think then would be the biggest rivals for that place, in that fourth place?
I think you've got to. Interestingly, I think Ayr will be quite an interesting one, because he seems to have gone on a wee bit of a run here with Scott Brown. I think Airdrie as well. Airdrie, I think, they're going to have something to say about this. So I think it's going to go between probably Morton and Airdrie, and Ayr would be my three to get that kind of last place in the four. And I think it'll be who can get the most run of games at that end just to get over the line.
I mean, if Airdrie are to get into the mix, Katie, you need to sort out your away form.
Yes, absolutely. And we've got, what's that? I think we've got four away games in the next 2 weeks.
Four out of your next five. You've got Morton away, Dundee United away, Dunfermline away, Inverness away. Your only home game in the next five is
Queen's Park. Aye, so we really do need to start out sorting out the away form and scoring some goals. But Rhys McCabe just seems to pull it out the hat all the time. Just need to see what he... Well, just don't... It's actually... I'm loving it, but it's a heart. It's just nerve-wracking at the same time. But at the end of the day, I would have been happy with seventh or eighth last at the start of the season. So I'm loving life in the Championship just now.
Aye, and that probably answers John's question because he asked if Katie above where you expect him to be, but I think what? Aye, you predicted seventh, did you say? What, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So you're...
We're six, but we're only a point behind Morton with two games. Is it one game in hand or two games in hand? So,
aye, a point behind Ayr. Aye.
Ayr, sorry, aye. Because they overtook us on Saturday. Point behind Ayr with a game in hand. So, I mean, it's not beyond the realms of possibility. We just need to win these next few games and there's a lot of tough ones in there.
Yeah. Ali, what do you think in terms of any threat to Morton from anyone?
Definitely Airdrie. I know they're not scoring enough goals, but yeah, I wouldn't rule them out, certainly. And Morton are on a great run, but this league is topsy-turvy. You could easily go 2 or 3 games and no be winning. So I don't think it's a shoe-in for that Morton are there. Sorry, Robert. I don't think it's a shoe-in that they're there. I think Ayr, we'll find out Saturday when we play Ayr, see what's what when we get down there. They've been patchy as anything most of the season at Ayr. Got a little bit of manager bounce. So we'll see how they compete against us on Saturday.
To be honest, they weren't great on Saturday. We just gifted them 3 goals.
I did see the goals. They looked
really
gifts.
Really hope we put a bow on them for them because that was the most... That was the easiest 3 goals I think they'll get all season. Especially that third one. I don't know what the referee...
Third one was ridiculous.
That was absolutely bonkers. And what's really annoying is our first goal was a cracker of a goal. It was so well worked. And then to just gift them the goals, that was... Oh, I had to drink a bottle of wine after that on Saturday.
At the game?
I was nearly tempted to get one at the game, believe me.
That's a good pie stand, that one at Airdrie, if you're getting wine in it.
Honestly, that was the worst game ever to watch. That was nearly as bad as the 4-1 our Broth drubbing up there a couple of months ago, honestly. Oh,
that's pretty grim.
Aye.
I feel like we're setting up some nice ammunition for you here, Robert, but I'll get Andy's and Heather's opinion. Threat to Morton in fourth place? Do you see anyone being a threat?
I mean, at the moment, it'd be hard to bet against Morton. They've got 15 games unbeaten, which is incredible. The only thing you'd say is that run's maybe got to come to an end. But the run of form has been incredible. You know, they were good against Motherwell from what I saw in the Scottish Cup. So the momentum is with Morton at the moment. So I would fancy them to take a top 4 place. Airdrie, I thought, have looked a good footballing side. It's interesting. It's the only team that, you know, because United have been used, well, the stats will show United have had more of the ball in every game they've played this season, other than against Airdrie, because the tactic with Airdrie is just to sit back and let Airdrie have the ball. Goodwin decided to do that and sit off them, and they're a good passing side, but we just took the view that they couldn't pass through Gallagher and Holt. So Airdrie are clearly a good footballing side, and their goalie plays, you know, really, really high up. So, you know, McCabe's got a kind of more unique style of playing, I think, compared to the other Championship sides. But as Katie said, the problem for Airdrie is that they're not scoring enough goals.
Heather, what about yourself? What's your thoughts? Who would be the biggest threat to Morton and maybe yourselves?
Yeah, it's tough. I think both teams have given us a hard going. I think we've struggled more against Airdrie, and I think that they definitely have been a very exciting team to see, like, it's in what they've managed to achieve this season, and I mean, I find it hard to support, like, I find it hard to say nice things about either team. I think they probably feel the same about Thistle, so yeah. would happily have neither team there, but I think that obviously can't deny the run that Morton have been on, and I just do think that runs come to an end at some point, and it might be that while Airdrie are in a little bit of a, like, maybe more of a slump right now, that it might just be time for theirs. So asking a Thistle fan if you want Morton or Airdrie, can I not just say, like, I would like our Broth up there or something?
Oh,
like,
Ayr are in there, and Queen's Park haven't been discussed at all. You never know, like, teams can go on a run. Right, Robert, we'll kind of come to you now. I mean, if you look at your next set of fixtures, right, up until the end of March, I reckon you've got 4 really favourable fixtures. You've got Airdrie, Inverness, Dunfermline and Queen's Park all at home out of that 7 fixtures. So if you're looking at the teams below you and you're at home to them, you're on the run that you're on, that looks good to me. I'd like to be in that position.
think that the next 2 weeks will show our ambitions. Those games, it feels weird to be saying it. Those games against the teams below us, I would be expecting us to get a result in now. But Airdrie on Saturday, Raith away the following Tuesday, and then Dundee United the following Tuesday. If we can come out of that with ideally 7 points, but I would take five. I would take 5 points out of these three games. That will kind of show where we're at in regard to the playoffs, I think.
Yeah, you think as well, like there's got to be a bit of heart with some of the players that are still in there in terms of the way they missed out in the playoffs last year as well. And obviously for the manager. Because, I mean, I know Adam was saying about Emery being under pressure. I think you felt it was injuries and once players returned, you'd be all right. John's obviously asked, Bureau John, is Dougie Emery a future Premiership manager? I mean, I think he has to be. Any team I've seen, Morton,
100%.
impressed.
I think Dougie and Morton kind of go under the radar. When people are talking about teams going to the playoffs, they'll talk about it'll be between Raith and Dundee United and Thistle, and they don't talk about Morton. Morton are perceived as playing kind of this long ball and being quite a robust team. We can play football. And we've showed that this season numerous times. But we can mix it up as well. I think Dougie Emery will go to the Premiership without a shadow of a doubt. He's a fantastic manager. What he's done at Capello on the budget that he's had and with the size of squad that he's had last season and this season shows just how good a coach he actually is. And the self-belief in that squad. He's got his players' backs, and that must be so affirming as a player, knowing that your manager's got your back like that.
I think he suffers a wee bit from the fact he wasn't exactly a fashionable player. Like, I think if you're looking at the league just now, right, you look at Airdrie, right? Now, Reece McCabe is getting all these plaudits for the way they're playing and this, that, the other, which is good. It's great to see. But Reece McCabe obviously came through at Rangers. He's had a kind of a career that was stalled by injury, and there's all this story about maybe that's what's kind of driving him to be this kind of top coach. But Dougie Emery was this guy that was a bit of a ruffian, kind of considered.
He was a journeyman, and he had a reputation as a player.
He was a solid journeyman, wasn't he? I mean, he was a thinker who went in your team as opposed to against, I think.
But he had a reputation as a player of being a bit rough and ready. And I think that because of that, a lot of people from outside looking in, who maybe see Morton playing two, three, four times a season when their team plays against them, have this opinion that Morton are a team formed in his image. But he also had a few tricks up his sleeve as well as being rough and ready. And if he's brought that to Morton, he's also brought the skill that he had to Morton. We have scored some fantastic goals, some fantastic team goals this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think the game has done a really good job, and what he's got out of, I wouldn't say that. I mean, this no disrespect, Robert, to Graham Watt. I don't think it's the best squad in the Championship, but the way he's got them playing, I mean, you've got the boy Wilson in the centre of midfield. I mean, he was not great at League One last season at Queen of the South, and now he's playing every game in the Championship. I think Dougie Emery, one thing he's done really well this season is he's got an extra 10-15% out of every single one of those players. A lot of them journeymen in themselves, and he seems to have got them firing and taking over. I thought the way that they dispatched Motherwell in the cup, I thought was really impressive. Just the way they took care of business, and Motherwell just played into it. It's like they hadn't even bothered to watch any game footage of Morton. They just played it exactly into their hands. The fans wanted it, the players wanted it. I think Emery might struggle with not having that kind of polished image in the media. He doesn't have his champions on certain platforms who always bring up certain names when jobs come up. But I if you're in the bottom half of the FPL and you're thinking about your manager, surely someone like Dougie Emery has to be on that. Ross County, for example, should they not be looking at Dougie? I mean, if you're going to want to bring someone in to steady your ship, he's a bit of a risk, but he's got to be in these conversations, surely.
My worry is that at the end of the season, Martindale goes upstairs at Livingston. If they survive in the Premiership, Martindale goes upstairs, and Dougie having ties to Davy Martindale and having coached at the youth teams at Livy goes in there as the manager. If we don't go up, that's probably
Is that not a side way move though? Because I
my
mean,
I would think so. But if we stay in the Championship and Livy stay in the Premiership,
well, yes. If Livingston go down, though, they're just going down. I mean,
yeah.
they're not staying in the Championship. They're going to just fall all the way down back to obscurity, and
Yeah.
that's okay because it's Livingston. We nobody really wants to go back there. But I think that would be a sign. I think it would actually be a downward move if Livy came down. I don't think that'd be a good move for him, Riga. Personally, I think he would be a big risk to take that one.
And also with the Ross County job getting mentioned, Ross that comes on our Premier Sat specials, we were speaking about potential candidates and how obviously the Derek Adams appointment never worked. His one that he thinks is at the end of the season that Ross County should go for Rhys McCabe because it would better get him in on a permanent basis. But I don't know, would Rhys McCabe be interested in a job away from the Central Belt? Would he
I
go
don't
to
know.
Ross County?
I mean, it's he's got family. He's got young kids. He does his coaching and things like that. I don't know that he necessarily would be, but he's getting touted for everything. As soon as there's a manager's job comes up, his name's always getting touted about. And I think we just have to enjoy Rhys McCabe while we've got him. I don't think we're going to keep him for very long. But personally, I don't think he would go up to Ross County. I hope he wouldn't. It's too much of a travel, isn't it? It's hopefully not.
Aye, I mean,
Although,
generally, I think we've spoken before about even Premiership clubs, even looking at Championship clubs for players. It doesn't happen that often. Certainly, maybe the kind of top teams are not very good at looking lower down. As they like to go to England and look at managers that are managing there or the kind of fancy appointments. There's a new breed. I think the Championship in particular, maybe we touched on this a wee bit early in the season. I mean, everybody here has got a kind of fairly young manager. They're all a kind of good age, obviously. Goodwin's had an experience, a bit of experience in the Premiership. But I think there's potential he can get back in, maybe get a wee bit of success with Dundee United. You look at Imrie at Morton, you look at McPake, obviously he's had his time in the Premiership already. Ian Murray has kind of certainly served his trade with Airdrie and Raith. Someone I think was maybe possibly mentioned at one point at the Ross County job, Chris Dolan as well. I mean, they're all these guys that are there, and that's a Championship. You look at the other managers that are there, and they're all looking at a pretty good age now that Dick Campbell's away.
well, Ian Murray was interviewed with Dundee in pre-season, so he was already touted there.
Can
So
I
yeah,
ask an opinion? Oh, sorry.
on you.
Yeah, on you go, Heather.
And well, it's just the fact, like, I find this obviously, like, Rhys McCabe and Dougie Emery getting that, and obvious and plenty of these, like, talking about Scott Brown. Can I ask, like, what are, like, other fans' opinions of Chris Doolan? Like, as someone who's not, because obviously we have such tinted glasses of Chris Doolan because of the fact that he scored 120 goals for us. He was with us for 10 years. He's our, I've grown up in the Doolan decade, and I just find it really interesting that his name isn't brought up with when all these other ones are. When if you actually look, we're third. We are. What we've managed to do in the playoffs last season, like, is it just because he's so under the, like, he's like so, like, not is not well spoken as the rest, in the sense of, like, he's not like a kind of, like, big chatter compared to Rhys McCabe and Dougie Emery, or is he just, like, so unproven that he wouldn't be backed?
So my theory on that, Heather, would be that he's not exceeding expectations with Thistle. Like, Dougie Imrie's exceeding expectations with Morton. Rhys McCabe's exceeding expectations with Airdrie. Doolan's got Thistle where Thistle should be, with Thistle's budget. Do you know what I mean? They're no setting the league on fire. If Thistle were where Raith are just now, I think when there were conversations about young managers, Doolan would be involved. That's just my opinion on it.
See, on that point, though, Robert, would it be fair to say, though, that in terms of the first job that he's doing, it doesn't sometimes matter what budget you've got. As managers can struggle with a budget. We've seen it happen before in Scotland. I think Doolan's kind of doing a fairly good job. Maybe at the end, does it come down to what you said about Envy? He's maybe not got the right pals in the media. I mean, you look at some of the clubs, we all know, like, see if you get, you play for either Rangers or Celtic, straight away you're going to get touted for a job.
Yeah.
And maybe jobs that are better than what they should be getting.
I always overlook Doolan, to be honest, Heather. And partly what Robert's saying, though, he's doing a decent enough job, but he's not exceeding expectations, I don't think. I was just associate Doolan with Partick Thistle. I don't know. And maybe it's just it feels like he's a one-man club sort of thing, and it would be it doesn't feel like he would go anywhere else apart from Partick Thistle. Like, if he wasn't in the Partick Thistle job, would he get another job? I'm not sure he would. Not sure he would.
That's so interesting, because that is just him. Like, he is Mr. Partick Thistle. But I just wonder when, like, you know, when things are, when people are getting said for things. I mean, I don't want Chris Dillon to leave. I'm not trying to get him a job here. But I just find it quite interesting that, I mean, we think, as you said, it's his first job and what he's managed to achieve in it. I mean, I'm pretty impressed by it. But yeah. I can see that maybe it feels like just a continuation rather than a next step.
Interesting. Right, the other end of the table then. Right, we've talked a wee bit about Infirmary and whether they can avoid the relegation playoff spot. What do we think? What think there's other teams that are in that mix? Like Inverness, they got a wee bit of a bounce when Ferguson first took over, but they are certainly in the mix. You look at Queen's Park, I know that we're saying about them maybe potentially moving, looking upwards. They could be in the mix, even Airdrie as well. So who would be the ones you think can get dragged into that?
I don't think I'd change my opinion since the first podcast when we were on. I think it'll be Cali Thistle in the playoffs and Arbroath who get in.
I'm going to not let you be too clever there, because you did pick Queen's Park to win the league.
No, I know. I know. I'm well aware of that.
But yeah, right, okay. So
to be fair, it's the only one I appear to have got wrong up to now.
Aye, I mean, I do remember as well, Andy did say the main goal for Dundee United was what, 25 points clear of Queen's Park, is that right?
That's what I went for. I mean, I'm not far, it's about right, isn't it? I just said they'd be nearer the bottom than the top. I didn't really understand the strategy of the club, but yeah, I mean, it was a real eye-opening couple of results Dunfermline had, with, you know, the 3-0 defeat and then the 5-0 defeat to Morton. I was just, you know, a bit stunned by, to be honest. And then obviously they got ahead against Arbroath at the weekend, but couldn't win. So, you know, Dunfermline have been quite good against United this season. They've probably been quite unfortunate in the games that I've seen against United to only get 2 points, to be honest, off us. But so in that sense, I'm surprised they're at the bottom. It looks like Arbroath are cut adrift, and then there's that playoff place up for grabs. I think there's a chance the Championship side might stay up, because Falkirk are obviously coasting that league, and Hamilton look as if they're kind of maybe on the thing. So I think ninth place might, you don't want to be ninth, but I think the ninth place side might stay up. But at the moment, as you say, it's interesting, because a few teams have kind of had bounces. You know, Ayr, Queen's Park, Inverness have all had bounces. But it is quite tight in the middle of the league. I mean, there's 4 points between Dunfermline and ninth, and Ayr and fifth. So, you know, a couple of results and it all changes.
Yeah, and I think that if the solace for Dunfermline is that, you know, a couple of wins and you are back up to fifth or sixth, and if you're any other teams in from air below, you've got to think, well, we can look up, but we also got to make sure we take care of business, because one or two results and you'll get dragged quickly into the mire of the relegations. I think Morton are going to be absolutely fine. I don't think they've got anything to worry about, but anything from Ayr and below, you know, one, you know, you're talking about Airdrie's four games away from home, Katie. If they carry on their result, don't pick up any points in those four games away, it can very quickly change, right? So I think for everybody, it's going to go down to the wire, but it's who can avoid the slumps that both Dunfermline and Arbroath have been on recently. You need to get that out of your system. But it's going to be a tricky one.
Yeah,
And
realistic meet
interesting.
your club limits, guys. Katie, any thoughts in terms of who might get dragged in there along with Dunfermline?
I think you're right. It's just it's going to be it's a tough league, and I think I hate to say it, but if we don't pick up our league, our away form, then we could get dragged down there. I think it will be Inverness at the end of the season, having watched every team now play each other a couple of times. They're probably they've been the worst team that we've played, I think. Never really. I think they've beat us once, but we've beat them. I think we've beat them three times this season already because we played them in the cup as well, and they were nothing special. Duncan Ferguson's not got them playing great football. I think they might be down there, but hopefully we stay out of it, and hopefully I'd like to see Dunfermline getting back out of it as well, to be honest.
Okay, Ali, what's your thoughts in terms of who might get dragged into the mix?
Well, I certainly wouldn't like to be Dunfermline at the moment because I think everybody's got a chance of looking upwards at the moment as well. I mean, Inverness could put results together, but Dunfermline seem to be on a really bad run. I do think Inverness could be the team that might be in bother. I do think that might happen, but I think it all comes down to Dunfermline, to be honest. What Dunfermline do, and to be honest. I think that whoever finishes second bottom will probably stay up. I don't think the quality of the league below is good enough to get them up.
Okay, Andy and Hera, what do you think?
I agree with Ali there. I think that the side that in League One will likely stay down. But at the moment, I mean, as I said, I was impressed with Dunfermline, so I'd be surprised if they were ninth. But I mean, the recent results are something that need to turn quite quickly. If you're asking me at the moment, I'm still going to say Queen's Park. I think Queen's Park will end up ninth. I actually think, I mean, it's funny the way you see things. Katie says Cali haven't been impressive. I think Cali in the three games against United have been really good. Have been unfortunate to not win each of those three games, to be honest. United had a real difficulty of Cali and have been pretty jammy to win the two games in Inverness. So I think Cali will be okay, but it's very difficult. There's so little between the teams. It's difficult to know which of the sides between fifth and ninth end up in ninth place. Because as I say, I think the top four will be are pretty well. I don't think Morton will get dragged down the way. So I think it's between fifth and ninth. And I really, if I was asked to guess, Queen's Park for ninth.
Okay. Heather?
I would agree with Andy in the sense of obviously we just drew 3-3 with Inverness, and I think Cammy Kerr is a really good signing for them. And I also think like the way that
Surely,
Duncan.
I mean, I'm going to have to get interrupt. We've had Zach Ruddon praise, we've had Cammy Kerr praise. I mean, this is getting ridiculous. This is like a Dundee FC loving. I mean, what is going on here?
We all agreed beforehand that we're just going to wind you up for a wee while. So,
Yes,
sorry,
fair
sorry
enough.
that you weren't in on the chat. I also think that Duncan Ferguson will have some sort of like mystical power over them. I remember when like they got a 1-1 result against us, and he was out on the pitch celebrating like they'd won the Champions League. He's got some sort of hoodoo over those players, and I think they'd be scared to finish ninth and have to face the wrath of Duncan Ferguson. But I think that maybe Queen's Park, I mean, they were so bad when we played them earlier this season, and their it was and the this general play, also this the, their lack of fans and the lack of like I mean, it's exciting to play at Hampden, but the lack of atmosphere there and everything. I think that, as we said before, having a strong Dunfermline and a busy crowd, etc., is good for the championship. I love a day like a night out in Inverness at Johnny Fox's, so I'll happily lose Queen's Park, so I'll put them in there.
Right, okay. Right, I'm going to just check and see what questions I've not asked people. Right, so Katie, Charlie had asked from a house point of view, how have a corner and Aiken been for yourselves?
Well, Aiken's been out injured. He's had a broken leg. I think we're expecting him back in the next few weeks. So before he got injured, he was absolutely fantastic. Great in the midfield. Really promising young Scottish midfielder, but unfortunately he broke his leg and he's been out for, God, that's been about 3 months now, I think. And they're saying that we'll get him back in the next few weeks, but he was at the Hearts game last week on crutches still, so I'm not hopeful for that. A corner, he's a tough one because he started the season really, really well and looked as if he would be a great signing, and now he makes loads of appearances on the bench, comes on, but he gets 10, 15 minutes if you're lucky. Looks he's got a great burst of pace and he's a good, strong boy, can hold the ball up, but from what I saw at the start of the season to what we're getting now, he's just not getting a chance. And considering we don't score an awful lot of goals, and he's quite quick and he's good at going forward, there's obviously something that Reece McCabe's seen in training that he's not getting a start.
Right, okay. Right, question from Josh. Which clubs in the Championship would comfortably go up just now and survive in the Premiership? Those are basing that on what the clubs are like at the bottom half of the table just now, because you can't predict what's going to happen in the summer in terms of recruitment. But if you had to put Dundee United in that table, I know it's probably been asked before, but that was like it after 9 games of the season where you couldn't really tell much about a team. Now that we're getting to the nitty-gritty, what do you think, Andy?
Yeah, this United side is better than the United side last season for the simple reason that they have a solid foundation at the back. Last year, despite our kind of the fiasco, we only went down by 3 points, and that was despite having the worst goalkeeper I've ever seen in goals. We actually have a good goalkeeper this year, and Gallagher is coming back, and Holt at the back would give us a platform. Look, I don't think United are a particularly good team, and it pains me to say it, but for one of the few times in my life, Dundee are presently the better side in the city, which is quite a depressing thought. But I do think that United would be ahead of Ross County and Livingston in the Premier League just now, and probably in that bunch around the St Johnstone Motherwell mark type thing.
What did you think about Dundee United? Would that be the case? Okay, have you been really like been impressed by Dundee United? Do you feel it's like a big team coming to Championship season, like one season, or is it much all it's just?
It's no felt like the seasons when we had Hearts or Hibs or Rangers in the Championship. It's not felt like that. I don't think this United team have instilled the same fear in other teams that those teams did. Or they certainly have me with Morton and our fans. I think they would survive comfortably mid-table, probably, this team, that United team, because of the Ross County and Livingston teams that are in the Premiership at the moment. But I don't think there's any outstanding team in the Championship that with their current squads would go up and survive comfortably.
Yeah, I can agree with that. It does feel like a bit. It does feel like when the big team comes to town, when Dundee United are visiting Kirkcaldy at the moment. But I agree with what Robert says. If you compare them to like the Hearts team that won the league a few years ago, they were outstanding. I don't know if we couldn't compete with them. Whereas we're giving Dundee United a game this year. In fact, we're on their coattails, so that says everything. And if you were to ask me if Rovers were to go up through the playoffs and get into the Premier League, I don't think we'd stay up with the squad. I think
It's
we'd
such a
have to
difference,
upgrade
though.
quite a lot.
You can maybe win a one-off game. You might win one or two games, but to go home and away over an entire season, it's a big jump from even the top end of the Championship to the bottom of the SPL. I think you have to. I don't think any squad, include Dundee United in that. I think Dunfermline have actually played well, surprisingly, against Dundee United. But I wouldn't say that I was scared of Dundee United coming to town compared to any other team this season. I think they're well organised. They remind me of Killie a couple of years ago. They just sort of grind it out, get themselves promoted. And but I think Dundee United will have that squad will need to go through some surgery if they're wanting to kick on next year. And it's whether they've got the budget and actually probably do they have the manager to continue them?
Yeah.
Because I think Goodwin, although your budget might have been cut, Andy, I wouldn't be surprised if it's still one of the bigger budgets in Scotland
Oh.
outside of the Old Firm and Aberdeen, etc. So, I'd rather be in Dundee United's position than Dunfermline's position, but I don't think it's a team that's going to just walk it back in the SPL next season. They're going to have to add some quality. Witherspoon, good example, looks absolutely class in the Championship, was an average player in the SPL released by a struggling St Johnstone team. So it can show you the gulf there. And I think whoever gets promoted will need to add in some decent quality, but they'll have bigger budgets to do so. So you'd expect them to do it. But good to get Livingston and Ross County out of that league anyway.
I think in the first podcast we talked about the fact that Dundee United had built a championship winning team. You know, they'd taken the best from the championship and had built that. And I think they've created a team that will, as you say, grind out results and do what's needed here. But that it is a, as you say, a massive step up. And I think that whatever team goes up will need to recruit and need to change in order to fit in there. To be honest, I think if we looked at all the teams that we have like sitting here right now, if we kind of built a kind of master team from that, I think we could build a team that could get top six, you know, like if we kind of all borrowed from that. But I think that none of us have got a team right now that could solidly go in there and survive or survive comfortably. I mean, I remember when Thistle went up that first season and like when we won in 2012-13 and Alan Archibald did just take up the championship winning team and we struggled. I mean, we were so lucky that Hearts got that massive points deduction. So they were always going down and we just had to avoid 11th. And I think that I think from any team of us, like if our team's going up and going into the Premiership, we want to be there and flourish. You don't want to go in there to survive. And I think that any of our teams right now going in there with the starting 11 that we have, we'd be going in there to survive rather than to thrive.
I think like that, that. Are you right there as well, Heather? I like that.
That Heather kind of hit the nail on the head. I was sitting thinking there before Heather started talking about which members of your squad I think could play kind of mid to lower Premiership. And there's probably three or four players in our squad, our entire squad, that are that level. And it's probably the same for most of the teams. You could build a squad from all of our teams, but individually, there's none is good enough.
Right, okay. So remember at the start of the podcast we said about doing a draft. Let's put together a first 11 between the clubs in the championship that could comfortably stay up. You reckon you could all manage that between yous? We'll try and figure out what we've got. We've got the 6 years. So I suppose at least one player from each of the teams, and then if there's anywhere else that kind of fits in from the rest of the teams. Rick, what do we reckon? Heather's nodding.
Yeah, I
Adam
could do
thinks
that.
aye.
Yeah.
Ali's. If he had a beard, he would be stroking it.
Yeah.
So, right, okay, right. So, goalkeeper. Who's the best goalkeeper in the league?
Got to be Walton, is it not? I think he's the best goalkeeper in the league that I've seen.
He wasn't on Friday night, but
Well, he wasn't at fault for either of the two goals, I wouldn't have said. I mean, it was a screamer on Friday, the winning goal, and Ruddon's offside for the first goal. So, well, he is.
I didn't say that at the end of the game. It was 2-1. It didn't matter. It didn't matter.
but I mean, Walton hasn't actually had, this is going to sound ridiculous, but he hasn't had many saves to make, is the only thing. He's not, there's not been any game I've come away and thought he's been outstanding. So for that reason, it's difficult. He's been very solid for us, but because of not, there's not been a game where we've had to face lots of shots or anything like that. There's not been a game where you've come away and thought he's made any kind of great saves. We've not conceded a penalty. He's not had to save any great saves of note. So, but he is a solid keeper. But if you're only picking one player per side, I would probably look for a goalkeeper somewhere else. I'm just trying to think who I would select.
So I, of the, when I was thinking, and I came up with three or four players, Ryan Mullen, our current number one, is one of the three or four I think could survive in the Premiership.
What's happened to Jamie McDonald?
Ryan Mullen is keeping him at the team. Jamie McDonald ended up injured, but
I know.
I think he's just coming back from injury now. after 3 or 4 weeks out. But Ryan Mullen was keeping him at the team. He's been absolutely superb. I mean, I think we've had 10 clean sheets in the last 14 games.
That's the same story.
Yeah, that's really good.
Okay. Any other contenders it would be down to those two then, maybe at the moment?
Dabrowski's had a lot of man of the matches for Rovers, but
he was tremendous on Friday night.
I thought he's done. He's a good shot stopper, but
He does that for the cameras, though. He did it on the again on Friday. He does that header at the end, and he knows exactly. I mean, I quite like that about him, but
that header at the end. I hadn't left early, but I was on my way out, and the guy that was blocking the staircase near enough was ex-BBC political correspondent Brian Taylor, Big Brian Taylor, and he practically exploded when Holt headed it straight at Dabrowski. He was going, it was easier to head it anywhere else but there. So, so he's as passionate as ever, despite being so eloquent when he was doing the politics stuff. But it was a good save by Dabrowski. But I think Dabrowski's a great shot stopper, but a little bit suspect to cross balls would be
100%.
From the limited stuff I've seen of
but
him.
Improving, I would say. Okay. He'd definitely be a contender.
Okay. A contender, but maybe not quite there.
Nah.
Okay. I'm assuming it would be a four at the back. Right, so if we were to pick right back, I'll come at header first of all. Who would you say is our best right back in the league?
Well, I'm going to be extremely biased here, but I think it's hard to go past Jack McMillan.
Yeah.
I think he is. He was fantastic. I mean, they showed it off in the playoffs last season. But his link up play, his ability to go forward, but also he does put a shift in the back and can head a ball out. And his link up play with people up front is frightening. So I'll be really biased and say my own team there. I know that there are other right backs in the league, but Jack McMillan for me is the one.
What do other folk think?
Nah, he's decent. He's decent. That they
would, he has a decent right back.
No other competition? Any names? No. Right, okay, that's nice and easy. Left back?
Oh, I'd need to put Mason Hancock in there.
Me and you are going to fall out because I'd put Lewis Strapp.
No, Mason Hancock has been solid since he came
we
in.
We get Hat and Cock and Strapp, right? Aye. Folk can make their own jokes. I liked Hancock at Aberdeen. I thought we should never let him go, but he's looked good.
I think for such a young, I didn't actually realise he was only 21. Because he doesn't look 21, to be fair, but he's just phenomenal. He just never gives up. I think over the last, since we went on our wee run, he's had man of the match nearly every game.
Right, okay.
I'd argue that Josh Edwards at Dunfermline's a better left back than Matt. I think he's a lot more physical. I think he's got a motor on him. He can get up and down. He's dangerous on the ball. He's an attacking threat. I think he's a slightly more complete player than Hancock. But
you've not seen Hancock since he's actually come onto a game when you saw him.
Okay. Well, I'll see him in a couple of weeks, and I'll let you know if I change my opinion on it. Right.
We were playing him at left side of defence, but we've put him out onto left back when Cammy Ballantyne got injured. Oh, that's been the change.
Right. But, okay.
Absolute phenomenal.
Fair. I'll take that.
Anyone else want to put their left back forward for the team? No, right, okay, so it's between those three. Right, centre backs.
I'm going to have to put forward either Gallagher or Hope if I'm only putting one, Declan Gallagher.
Gallagher.
Every day of the week.
Yeah, former Scotland internationalist.
I would fight for Kevin Holt though. Like I'll back him there. Like he's alongside Declan Gallagher, I think Kevin Holt is brilliant and his ability to score goals as well as defend them is something that is that we miss dearly. But if we're going to want to put a young person in, Lewis Nielsen, who's obviously with us right now, on loan from Hearts, had a really good season with Dundee United. Yes, our defence has been a bit ropey, but he's a player and he is going to play in the Scotland team in years to come. the way that he can move the ball and things. But I wouldn't put him in like team of the year. But like I think he's one to watch for seasons to come. But I think it's hard to look past the Dundee United back two.
I mean, seeing as like we couldn't get any guests on from the other teams, should we just leave the other four teams out of it and just put
The
these
only one
three?
I could think of is Wilson, I suppose, at Queen's Park, just because he's got caliber, but I haven't actually seen him yet, if he's been any good.
We'll just leave them out. Right, okay, so
Very, very patent.
He wasn't great on Saturday. George Oakley bullied him on Saturday.
He bullies everybody, though. That's not fair comparison.
Yeah.
Any other centre back contenders? So we've got Gallagher, Holt, Nielsen. Now that we know that we can maybe have one on one.
Think you've got to go with Callum Ferdice as well, or even Reece McCabe.
Defensively,
Think
I think McCabe should be one of the best teams defensively in the league, but
that's what I was going to say. We've got one of the best defences in the league, and so you've got to be a contender, surely. The two of them have been solid this season. I mean, I think that's why we were so bad on Saturday, because Callum Ferdice was actually injured, so he wasn't even on the bench. Well, he was as the manager, but not on the bench.
right, okay.
So maybe we take Kevin Holt out, we put Declan Gallagher, and we take that from Airdrie, maybe.
Eventually. And that the only one we've got nailed on so far is McMillan at right back. So I mean, this podcast could go into about midnight tonight. Right. In terms of formation wise, middle to front, would it be a 4-3-3 or a 4-4-2 or a 4-2-3-1? What would be the general championship formations? What would work best, do you think? Try and think of your fitting the best
We
team members at the
tend to
bottom.
play a 3-1-2 with Robbie Crawford just behind the front two, playing off the front two. And he's another one of the ones that I would say could play at Premiership level. Robbie Crawford's a tremendous player, so underrated.
4-3-1-2, you would go for Adam. What would your formation be of choice?
I'd probably just go championship. I'd just go a 4-5, a 4-4-2 would be my preference.
What winners have we got in the league that are good
Fitzy,
entertainers?
Aidan Fitzpatrick.
Dylan Easton.
Why was
Yeah,
Easton
reckon.
not starting on Friday night, Ali?
He's been well off form. He's really been well off form. Hasn't he been? Actually, since he scored that great goal against Dundee United, his form really dipped. And then Murray's kind of just went with sort of more energy, kind of defensive kind of approach to the wing back areas. But he's a definitely, when he's on his game, he's a top player.
Done
Andy.
that for us as well, though. He was phenomenal, and then when he went off form, that was him. He was so infuriating, so
Yeah.
frustrating to watch as well.
Too many touches,
Aye,
trying to
try
take
to
on the
beat you
same
in
player
the
too
end.
many times. That's frustrating. But when he's on his game, he's tremendous.
Any other winners that would be in the mix?
On the wings.
Dom Thomas, I would have.
Dom Thomas is,
Dom Thomas.
but I Aidan Fitzpatrick's better than.
Dom
Than
Thomas isn't allowed in
Dom
because he played
Thomas.
Queen's Park. No letting Dom,
Thanks.
we're not letting any players from these other teams in now, are we?
Tom
He was nearly a
Thomas.
Thistle player, so that could have been fun anyway. Well, that was the rumor anyway. But no, but I mean, I'll happily not put any other Thistle player in if apart from if I get Jack McMillan and Aidan Fitzpatrick in this team, because Fitz is unplayable. He's won us games this season or got us points. He's, and I can't believe, do none of you rate him? Because you're obviously laughing.
No, I think he's a good player. I'm agreeing with you. I think he's a good player.
I'm just
No.
pleased I don't have to argue with you about Brian Graham not being in the team ever. I thought you were going to try and argue for him.
Nah, Brian Graham's got a big enough ego for
Not
that.
top spot in the league. Brian Graham not top spot in the league.
He
Is he
is a
above Lewis
team.
Vaughan
I
now, is he? Think he is. Maybe like one. I don't know if that's all maybe cup competitions as well, but I was looking at goal scorers earlier, and then we seem to be right. Okay, what about kind of central? I know Andy, you spoke about the influence of Ross Docherty earlier.
Yeah, well, the other one is Sam Stanton's come back
Sam
for Rafe, and
Stanton.
again, Ali will be able to speak more about that. But Stanton,
Sam.
from my recollection, got injured on the 2nd of January. Rafe lost 5 games. He came back and they won their first game after he came back. So.
He's exactly that. Sam Stanton's like he's your top player. I think he just goes. He would walk into that team and he could play a higher level.
I'd throw Sean Byrne as well. I think he's had a great season for. He's been actually quite underrated at Rafe. I think he goes about his business quite. quite quietly, but he protects that defence. I think one of the reasons why Wraith have done so well with their injury problems at the back is because they've had players like Sean Bowen, and I thought he was excellent again on Friday against Dundee United as well.
Yes.
He won't be short of offers in the summer with Sean Bowen, I think.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens with Sean Byrne in the summer, to be honest. He's had moments when he's not been that great, and there's been spells when I thought, yeah, we need to keep building the team around him. But I would have Sam Stanton in this team before I'd have Sean Byrne.
Well, Craig Sybil as well, I've kind of seen him play this season. I thought he's been good in centre midfield again. He's combative. He distributes the ball well, keeps the ball moving. I think you need these
types
of
players
in
midfield.
Yeah, he's
poor on Friday, but on the whole, he's generally a steady kind of 7 out of 10. Doherty's more integral, but yeah, he's a steady player. He's a tough guy in the middle of the park. But what about Matty Todd at Dunfermline? I guess maybe not a central midfielder as such, but...
Yeah, he kind of comes off the right or left. I'm just not putting forward any Dunfermline player because I don't think anyone deserves to even be in the conversation. And the one... and I mean that with all due respect, they just haven't delivered, so they shouldn't be in it. And I think even for me, it would be a hard one for me to argue for. I think if players like Matty Todd and Kane Ritchie-Hosler and Benedictus had played this season and been fit, I think I'd be making arguments for them, but they haven't done it this season because they've not been on the park. But I do think Matty Todd out of all of them would be someone I would put in that team, but I think he needs to prove it first before I'll make that argument on a public podcast, but maybe next season if we're still in the championship. Oh dear, back to the Seaside League.
Just confirming that Brian Graham is top goal scorer in the league currently. He has 12 goals. And I mean, might as well just recreate the team of this last season and have Stuart Bannigan and Ross Doherty in the middle. But I do think Bansal's years, maybe best years are behind him. But that goal he scored against Ross County. I don't know if you saw it. It was absolutely unbelievable.
Were you up in Dingwall, Heather, that day?
No, I wasn't actually. I couldn't face the travel back. I was working, so I couldn't be there. Okay. But I felt like I lived it, and I was listening online. But what a day! What a day!
Right. Okay. So, striker wise, Lewis Bourne's got to be in there, surely.
Yeah, I would have him in. I would have him in. I think Lewis has had a tremendous season. After all
these
injuries,
he's had all those injuries.
Unbelievable.
He wouldn't be playing at Wraith Rovers with all due respect to Ali if he'd not had those injuries.
Absolutely not. And he signed another 2-year deal with us as well. So he's Mr. Wraith Rovers.
I think you've got to have Callum Smith here as well.
He's went way off form for me, Callum Smith.
Don't think he's playing him right, though.
We're playing him in every place. We're playing him up front. We're playing him right side, left side. He's just never nailed down a position, really. So he wouldn't be in my first 11 at the moment, Carl.
If you're talking best performances by a striker I've seen this season, as much it pains me to see it, but that day up at Tannadice when Robert was quite happy, given the eyes in the group, big George Oakley scored the perfect hat trick at Tannadice and completely bullied Kevin Holt that day as well. I don't know if it's because Gallagher wasn't beside him, but completely bullied the only striker I've actually seen completely bully our defence this season.
He's the best striker I've seen at Capello in a number of years. And I think if he hadn't missed those 7 league games with injury, he'd be up at the top end of the scoring charts. I think he's got 7 in the league. His hold-up play is tremendous. He bullies defenders. He scores all sorts of goals. And I'll be very surprised if at the end of the season he's still a Morton player.
Any other strikers in the mix?
I just want to see Andy and Robert's reaction to Brian Graham being mentioned. Himself. I mean, he scores goals and he puts out, you know, I mean, he does it. He does what a striker does, and to be the age he is, and be the top goal scorer, and to wind absolutely everyone up.
Yeah, that's the thing. Big George Oakley's just a younger, better looking version.
So I know Lewis Moult, none of that.
Moult, I think Moult's an interesting one because he's got a few goals, but he's been, I would say, poor on the whole. And if I was looking at, he's out of contract at the end of the season, and if United do go up, and I think we will, but it's still not, you're obviously certain with only a point behind, I wouldn't be offering Moult an extension in the Premier League. don't think he's good enough anymore.
Right, so we need, right, so basically, we have a right back for definite, McMillan, and we've got a strike force of Vaughan and Oakley, is that right? Yeah.
Be happy with that. I think Vaughan would be happy with that.
Right, so goalkeeper, it was between Walton, Mullen, and Dabrowski. So, need to put it at a vote. Dabrowski, we said, was probably an outside contender, so really it's between Walton and Mullen.
I would say Mullen, based on the, like, the fact that he generally probably has more action than Walton has had. Walton has been very steady, but he's not. I can't think of a single great save that he's made across the course of the season.
I think the thing about Ryan Mullen, he's young, he's 21, he comes through the Celtic kind of youth setup. He's good with his feet, his distribution's great. He plays as a sweeper quite often for us. He's good with cross balls and he's a good short stopper. And his best years are ahead of him.
Okay, so should we put it to Mullen's seen as Andy's seen probably more Walton than anyone else. I think that's probably a good one to go with, right? Left back was between Hancock, Strap, and Edwards. Robert, who would you, well, your vote's probably going to be for Strap, so it's after Andy, who would your vote for? And we know who Katie's vote's for, so really it's between Andrew, Heather, and Ali. What do you think? Who would be your left back of choice?
I would say Strap, to be honest.
I'll go Hancock.
Strap really annoyed me because he was part of a Morton team that beat us and, you know, was good with the long throws and we felt was getting away with stuff. So out of pure bitterness and pettiness, I'll go Hancock then.
That's the stuff football's all about, Andy.
I think the best part was the day that our fan stole his towel. When he's always got a towel at the side of the park. So one of our fans stole his towel because he was taking agents when he was taking throw-ins.
The centre-back, we had a few names in the mix. So we had Gallagher, Holt, Nielsen, Fordyce and McCabe. Is it the Dundee United pair or does anyone else sneak in?
I think Gallagher's a shoo-in.
Gallagher and Nielsen for me, to be honest.
What do we think? Anyone else? Are we going Gallagher and Nielsen?
I'd be happy with that.
A bit of brawn, a bit of one buoyancy maybe.
What a player Nielsen would be if he got to play with someone like Gallagher instead of having to play a long hour in your head, I have to say. But I'm excited. I think on Friday we're going to get Nielsen and O'Reilly. I think Muirhead might have had his last game for a wee while, so I'm excited for that. But yeah, I'm happy to get Nielsen in there.
He should play one more game and then take his time off.
Right, I feel when you get playing in somewhere because there's no Dunfermline players quoted yet. Apart from Edward, wasn't.
I'm not making an argument for them, honestly.
Sammy Tammy,
I think, would be the condescending option, Alan, so thanks for that. I just couldn't make a gen. I mean, maybe if we're playing well, but the team hasn't played well. They generally don't deserve to be in that conversation. Go win some matches, get ourselves up the league, and we can have a conversation about potentially putting out. But I would lose all credibility if I tried to argue that's a team that has, you know, struggled to beat a part-time outfit on the weekend deserves a player in that all 11. Maybe at the end of the season I can have that debate, but at the moment I think they're not. I think there's players with potential. I think Uniontu, I think, will have a very good career in Scottish football and potentially lower league football in England. He's a really good talent, but he's young, 20 years old. We've got Owen Moffat, I think, is another very good talent. Again, young, 19, 20 years old. So there's a lot of young players coming through, but everybody that we've mentioned tonight, apart from maybe one or two exceptions, are good, experienced pros at this level, and they're performing the way that you would expect them to do so. So, all right. I mentioned that Edwards is an honourable exception to the otherwise car crash performance so far this season. So don't worry about it.
No worries. Right, okay, midfield. Have you agreed that Fitzpatrick is a wide player in there? There was Ali was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah.
And we could play as a a four or a three, couldn't he? Really, Fitzpatrick. Right, what about the actual middle of the park? Doherty and Stanton, is it? Or Stanton? Aye?
I would have Stanton before Byrne.
Yeah.
And Doherty's decent.
Yeah.
Doherty would be my United one. If I was thinking of a kind of non-player from this podcast, I think that Sean Welsh is quite a good signing from Queen's Park, from Cali, because he seems to be one of Cali's better players. And now he's gone to Queen's Park, and I've not seen any of it, but you just notice the results have improved since January. I wonder if it's because he's in the middle of the park, but I've not seen enough to actually make a kind of informed opinion on that.
He is the Thistle scapegoat. Like, see, still when things go wrong, people are like, oh, it's Sean Welsh's fault. He was blamed for so many things throughout the season, so I cannot happily sit here and let Sean Welsh be a championship winning, like, or like, or a Premiership surviving team. There's no way. That's gonna be my hill to die on.
That's your veto. That's your veto with me vetoing Brian Graham. Fine, that's fine.
Right, so we need to decide the last place in the team. So who have we got? We've got Dylan Easton, we've got Sean Byrne, we've got Sybold, and we've got Robbie Crawford. Who would fit best into that team?
Like, if you want to create stuff, it's Dylan Easton for me.
I would say Dylan Easton's for me.
Yeah, he's the best player in the championship. When he's on form.
When he's on form.
Right, so we've got a team then. So we've got Mullen in goal, McMillan at right back, Hancock at left back, Gallagher and Nielsen at centre back, Fitzpatrick and Easton out wide, Doherty and Stanton, and then Boyle and Oakley up front. I think that team would compete.
Bottom. Just wasted 45 minutes at the bottom.
Down.
Maybe that's not a good advert for saying that the championship.
I think that team is on a par with anything St Johnston or Livingston or Ross County could put on the park.
I mean, there's not a lot of Premiership experience in there, is there? Like, good Premiership experience.
I mean, no. He vetoed Brian Graham. I mean, what more experience do you
need? Well, the team's there anyway. We might put it out and then see what I think.
That's a bottom four team, that, isn't it? Bottom four.
Right, that was a bit of fun anyway. That was better maybe than doing the draft, something a bit different. So thank you very much again, all of you, for coming on for the third time this season as part of this championship special selection. We need to try and figure out when the next date is. I feel we should kind of maybe try and do it when it's like, I don't know, four or five games to go or something like that.
As long as it's before cup final day, because I'm busy.
Is that Robert?
I said, as long as it's before cup final day, I'm busy.
Oh, we forgot to mention, actually, Katie, are you in a cup final?
So we are. Yep.
Against all Saints, is it?
All the new Saints, I match or something. I fancy our chances, to be fair. I think it should be an easy game for us, but who knows?
Aye. But yeah, ironic that it's that ballpark scene as well, so who sends Pete, isn't it?
Aye, and we seem to be like playing there, we like winning there, so
what type of crowding they'll get for that? Presumably they'll not bring many up from Wales at all, so
do you know, I don't think it'll be a great crowd. I mean, we'll take maybe 1,500, and I don't think they'll. I mean, it'll probably be one of the lowest crowds for a cup final that you'll see. But we might take a wee bit more because it is Falkirk and it's close by. But it's not going to be a great crowd.
It's a terrible venue for a cup final. I went for I think it was just a Challenge Cup final last season.
Aye.
It's awful.
It's a horrible. It's not a nice.
It's not a nice stadium at all, is it?
No.
Okay, it's just so many better choices I could have made.
But it kind of fits with them not being a very nice team.
Well, that's it.
And on that bombshell,
just follow the podcast. Everyone hates Falkirk.
Adam, send on that note. Let's just end on that note.
if you end it with "and everybody hates Falkirk," that'll feed the Falkirk fans. ideas of grandiosity that they're this big team that everybody hates.
I know.
They're here next season and some of you are still here.
I look forward to taking 12 points off them.
Well, you'll be flying high in the Premiership by then, Robert.
Well, you never know. If we're in the Premiership, we'll be lucky if we get 12 points all season.
It'll be fun, though.
Right. Cheers, everyone. Thanks again.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, John.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks so much.
Cheers, John.
Cheers, guys.
Hope you have a rubbish day on Friday, Adam.